In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. We're getting ready now for Holy Week. And there are some other materials already on the website about Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. What I thought I would try to do for Good Friday is to go over the whole Passion of John, to give a rather rapid exegesis. But the point is twofold. One, to give everybody who hears this an hour meditation on, actually an hour and a quarter meditation on the Passion according to John. But also, for those who are going to preach, help them guide their people. And after the long Passion narrative, there isn't time to preach a long time, but there is time to make some very serious points that can enter into the souls of those who hear us and make a difference in their lives. And so we're going to look at it in five parts. This first part is going to just be on the arrest and the preliminary hearing, that is, that hearing which is treated sparsely by John before the Jewish authorities, before he's brought over to Pilate. So the text runs like this. Having said these things, the these things go back to the prayer in chapter 17. This is chapter 18. All of chapter 18 we're going to be looking at. So having said these things means all those things, especially all the prayer for unity. Jesus went out with his disciples across the brook Kedron, which is still there, where there was a garden, which is also still there, probably the same garden, same place, not the same garden, into which he entered, he and his disciples. He's going to pray because he knows what's going to happen. Judas, the one to hand him over, knew the place as well, because Jesus often came together there with his disciples. So Judas, taking the cohort and officers from the high priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons, as John tells the story. They're out to get a malefactor, a dangerous malefactor, and they need weapons and torches and the irony of this, huh? As he's going to say himself, you know, I was with you all the time in the temple. Okay. Then Jesus, knowing all that was coming upon him, went out and said to them, Jesus knows exactly what they're there for. Whom do you seek? They answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. He said to them, literally, I am. Ego imi, I am he, anihu. But that's the divine name. Besides just being, I am he. Judas, the one to hand him over, was standing with them. When then he said, I am, they drew back and fell to the ground. In Psalm 56, it speaks about the enemies of the righteous one falling back and falling to the ground. Then again he asked them, whom do you seek? And they said again, Jesus, the Nazarene. Jesus, from that hick town in the north, where there's not even a road. The Nazarene. You know. It's like saying, Jesus, the hillbilly. Almost. He said to He replied, I said to you, I am, meaning I am he, but more than that. Then you are seeking me, let these go, that the word might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Of these you have given me, I have not lost one of them, which is an allusion to his the end of his eschatological discourse. He speaks this way. In chapter 6, the actual verse that I'm looking for right now is 39, where, you see, can't read without my glasses. I thought it said 6, it says 8. Okay. This is the will of the one who sent me, that all that he gave to me I should not lose one, but raise them all yet up on the last day. And so here's what he's saying here. You see, that the word might be fulfilled, which he spoke, of those you have given to me, I have not lost one of them, which comes from 6:39, as you just heard. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant. Then Jesus said to Peter, put your sword in its sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Now that, the idea of the cup to drink, is an Old Testament symbol already. But Jesus has already used it to talk about his passion. If you remember, when James and John want the first two places, and he says, can you drink the cup I'm supposed to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized? Plunged into this suffering. Of course, they say we can, not having a clue what it means, but actually they did both get martyred. So they did share his cup. You see, Jesus is saying, the cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Okay. So we have the disciples, and then the majesty of Jesus, I am. Then will of God versus the plans of men. Now we start. So then the cohort and the tribune and the officers of the Jews, after they got up from the ground, arrested Jesus and bound him. Talk about scared cops. Bound him. Why bind him? Where's he going to go? Standing there waiting for him. Anyway, led him to Annas first. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, and Caiaphas was the high priest during that year. It was Caiaphas who counseled the Jews that it was advantageous for one man to die for the people. It is, but not in the way he thought. So, they take him along. Simon Peter was following Jesus and another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest, and he went in with Jesus. This is a great mystery. Is that the man who wrote the fourth gospel? Is he just a peasant fisherman? How is he in league or known to the high priest? With enough clout to go in and say, let my friend come in. Well, 20 centuries later, we really haven't given a satisfactory explanation about that. So he went in, and Peter was standing outside. The other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the geek. So this man, who's along with Peter, one of the disciples, how is he known to the high priest? These are historical conundrums. We still have not figured out ourselves. But why? But anyway, and he let Peter in. Then the girl, gatekeeper, said to Peter, you are not one of the disciples of this man, are you? And here comes the tragedy. He said, I am not. The servants and officers were standing around, having made a charcoal fire and warming himself. And Peter was there with them, warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus spoke, I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogue and temple, where all the Jews meet together, and in secret I spoke nothing. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. After all, they know what I said. As he said this, one of the officers standing there gave a slap to Jesus, saying, Is that the way you answer the high priest? Already the abuse begins, right? Of hatred. Slap him. Jesus answered, If I have spoken wrongly, witness to the wrong. If well, why do you hit me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So there was this trial, not a trial, sort of a preliminary investigation, and now he's sent to Caiaphas. Now we have this incident inserted. Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said to him, You are not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it, said, I am not. And one of the servants of the high priest, who was a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said to him, Didn't I see you in the garden with him? And Peter denied it, second denial. You see? And straight away, the cock sounded. And so, that is the revelation of Jesus' prophecy. So they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium. John skips the whole trial before Caiaphas. Pilate went out to them, and this is where, notice the oscillation of this man of the world. He runs this country, but he's afraid, and he's indecisive. So he goes out to them. What accusations do you bring? If he hadn't done anything wrong, we wouldn't be here with him. He would not have delivered him. So Pilate said, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews said to him, We are not permitted to put anyone to death. The Romans, when they occupy a land, say, We are the only ones who can administer capital punishment. Therefore Pilate went back into the praetorium and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Are you saying that Jesus answered? Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Jesus answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests delivered you to me. That's the tragedy. Your own nation and the chief priests, the ones you most love. See? What have you done? Jesus answers, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, you know, then my servants would be fighting, so I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. My kingdom is not from here. Therefore, Pilate said, So you are a king. You say, and it's correct, I am a king. And now Jesus reveals his kingship. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, seeks the truth, loves the truth more than themselves, see, hears my voice. Pilate, what is truth? What are you talking about? I'm a busy man. I got to administer this thing, and I got to do it well so I don't get canned by the emperor. What is truth? When he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish that I release for you the king of the Jews? We only have very slight hints of this custom in the literature come down to us. Not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. And the soldiers wove a crown out of thorns and put it on his head. And you know this. This is the prophecy in Isaiah 50. Then you can read the same insult in Matthew, Mark, and Luke in another form. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple cloak, a travesty. And Pilate says, "Behold the man, Adam. Behold human nature. Behold it beaten, crowned with mockery. That's what man has done to himself. And this man, who is God, is taking that on himself. Ecce homo, behold the man," okay? They say, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then finally, Pilate goes and says, "Where are you from?" And "I know where I have come from and where I am going." This is what Jesus tells them in chapter 8, you see. "Don't you know I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you? You would have no power over me if it had been given to you from above." Consequently, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release him, you are not a friend of Caesar. We got contacts in Rome. You let this guy go, who we think is stirring up a revolution, and word gets to Caesar that you let him go, there goes your job. You know that?" And of course, his job is more important than Jesus. And so then, Pilate heard these words. He brought Jesus out and seated him on the judge's bench. There's an ambiguity in the Greek text, but I think, and there are translations in both French and English, it isn't that Pilate sat on the bench. Jesus sat on the bench. So Jesus is the judge, even as they're condemning him, you know? The final line, "We have no king but Caesar." They've just denied God. From now on, we have only a secular government. Let's be careful of that ourselves.